Welcome to the live weekly message from the auditorium at Encounter. You may not be here in person, but you are still part of the family. Our speaker today is author and lead pastor Michael Rice.
Sermon today is called That One Thing. Before we get started, I want you to pray for me. A, that my voice will make it through it. That your hearts will be opened to what God's about ready to say to you. It took me a day or two for me to soak it in, exactly what the Spirit of the Lord was saying and wanted me to speak about this morning. I would do everything in my power to speak everything he's told me. Everything he's told me is truth. Now I just have to get out of the way. Amen. So pray for me. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ the righteous, Lord, I'm thankful to be able to stand before your congregation. Father, I'm truly unworthy. Who am I? I'm navel end. But you're everything. You're everything to me. We pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ the righteous that you would open the hearts of everyone that will hear this word. That Father God, I truly lay my body, my voice, and my mind to you. It is yours. I step out of the way. Do with it as you may. I thank you, Father God, for this opportunity, and I praise you for the fruit in which it will bring. In the precious name of Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about that one thing. That one thing this morning that can remind you of the game and life-changing truth. Today we will travel back to the beginning. It's always a good place to start, isn't it? In the beginning. And then we're going to look forward to the end. And see that what the one thing through all of history, not just your history, but all of history, that has and does and will be the rock that you can trust in, it's going to be fine. In late Matthew, the book of Matthew, not Matthew Heady, he's still with us, he's not the late, but in the chapter, or the book of Matthew, Jesus begins to talk about the end times. How many believe that we're in the end times? Anybody? One, two, three, four, five. So the rest of you are like, yeah, crappy, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I think we're close, but no man knows the day of the hour, right? Amen. Now, Jesus, he's God, right? Right? That's what he said. Me and my Father are one, right? That's pretty, you know, that's pretty aggressive. I know the Jews didn't like it when he said that, right? Right, Gary? What did they do? They picked up stones to stone him when he said that because they knew what he was saying, that he was God. So if he's God, and if he wrote it all, and if he knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, it would be important to maybe hear what the writer says the end shall be, right? Right? That makes sense, right? You know? It'd be like in this, that, and here's part of the nuggets. It would be liking that I owned this massive mansion, right? And I was going to have a party, right? And I invited y'all and everybody you could get to come down to my mansion, and we were going to do some dancing and flip some burgers, maybe kill a turkey. I saw a wild turkey literally by a drive-through window 2 days ago. I took a picture of it. I forgot to tell Pam about it. It's not real till I tell Pam. I'm sorry. So those who are married knows what. Amen, right? Come on. So I invited you all, but then you begin to show up. There's nothing there. You don't even see me. You just see me. You hear that I'm there. I'm going someplace with this. Okay. So you actually think that, oh, maybe I should have brought some burgers with me, all right? Or maybe I should have brought some Diet Pepsi because I'm thirsty, or some cold water, or something to share. And even though I had invited you, you thought that maybe it wasn't enough, or I didn't prepare enough, or I'm I don't know what I'm doing, and so I just invited and left. I didn't even show up myself. Can I tell you this morning, that would be ridiculous, right? Can I tell you this morning that at the end of Matthew, Jesus says this. He says, in the last days, be careful that you're not deceived. Now, he doesn't just say it once. I challenge you to read it. He says it multiple times. And at the end of the story, Gary, we know that God is taking care of all plans. Am I wrong to say that? Because listen, we act like that. Maybe none of you, but maybe it's just me, Carol, all right? That God needs my help, like I can help him do it. Dude, I can't even help me, right? And think, the most important scenario in my life is what? Was it me going to high school? Or was it me getting a job? Or was it me having 8 kids and 16 grandchildren? Every time I tell one of my customers of that, they fall out on the ground, really. Is it possible that because I bought a house, or I have a car, or I work a business, or whatever? Are those the most important things that I need to deal with, Stetson? Is it? No, it's not. There's just one thing. And if we really think this morning, it's so funny. If we really think this morning that we can't get there, because there's no way God will help me get there, you've been deceived, my friend. You've been deceived. Well, Brother Dave, how can you say that I have been deceived? Just saying that makes me feel that, well, you're deceived. Right? All right? What are the deceived supposed to say? Well, I think you're right. I think I am deceived. No. You're going to deny the deception. I tell you today, the word which God has for you, if you allow it to germinate in you and do its work, it can change the trajectory of your life. Depression, frustration, suicide. I don't know why I'm saying that. Because when I prepare today, and maybe someone's dealing with suicide. Has anybody in the house dealt with suicide before? Can I tell you I did? Yeah. How can he? Come on, let's be. Hi, Brother Dave, right? Come on. How can I be suicidal? I tell you, I was. I had it all planned out. I bought the pills, right? I was going to the hotel, right? It was done. But somebody, George, just, why don't you go to church with me today? It was a Sunday night. That's when we had Sunday night services, right? If you wanted to be in church, 40 years ago, it was Sunday night. Come on. Can I get an amen from somebody who had Sunday night service? Right? Right? Now, Sunday morning, we want to see we want to see his place full and people getting saved. But Sunday night was for the Christians. It was for the believers, right? Come on. It was for those who wanted more. Does anybody in this house want more? Anybody? Anybody? Do you want more what God has for you? He has it for you today. So the deception is that God is so distant and so out of touch that there's no way that he would cross all the T's and dot the I's, and all we needed to do was show up. What do you mean? I don't got to do nothing? I'll say that again. We're deceived if we, I can feel it, but it's coming. Hallelujah. Brother Dave might lose his jacket. I just bought this yesterday, all right? All right? I'm just telling you, right? I'm telling you that he has everything in place. Nothing has surprised him. Have you been surprised? Dude, I'm surprised all the time. I'm surprised I wake up in the morning and I still got a few pieces of hair. Dude, I had my hair cut. You know, I used to have long hair like you, Mike. You want to see a long hair? This boy had long hair. We were kids, right? But that lady, she was. I'm like, whoa, what are you doing? It used to be gray, and now it's just like skin and white. This is what you wanted, right? Not really. What I wanted was this here. Come on, buddy, let me have some of that. That's what I wanted, but they didn't have it there. They didn't offer it. So I took what they gave me. Nothing, right? I'm here to tell you this morning as we travel, and it's going to be a journey, right? But at the end, that's all I'm going to say. Let's go. All right, start off with, let's get your Bibles. Let's go to Genesis 1:3. Brother Dave's going to drink some of this. This is Powerade with no calories. It's so good. Of course, my wife tells me earlier this week, she goes, you know that Trump's getting rid of Red Eye One. There goes your Powerade. Okay, get thee behind me, Satan. That's all I got to say. Anyway, I know you don't talk to your family like that. I know. Not that I said that to her. I couldn't eat the rest of the week if I actually said that to her. So I'm just saying, okay. I might look old, but I'm not dumb and old, I guess. Anyway, Genesis 1 and 3. It says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Can I tell you this morning that light hasn't stopped shining. It's been going on. No matter what man has said about, I'm sure you see it on reels at times or at, I'm not a TikToker, but, you know, well, you know, in 20,000 years, the sun is going to die and this is going to happen and blah, 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 blah. Nothing's going to happen until God says it's going to happen, right? Nothing, right? And I'm telling you this morning that Genesis 1 and 3 says that he said, let there be light, and there was light. And that light has continued today. That's a very important part of the building that God's getting ready to show you. Next one. Genesis 2 and 7. It says this. Let me get over to it. I started printing the rest of these. It says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Can I tell you, from that day, man has never stopped being a living soul. That breath, that speech that was spoken to the dirt man Adam, changed everything. And not to get into a theological debate about Genesis, but we could. So Genesis 1:1 says what? It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But then verse 2 is dynamically different. And verse 2, it says, and darkness fell on the face of the deep. That's what it says. How did God's creation, day one and the next day, was void? No way. Now, is it in the Bible? No. It is the word Trinity. Do you believe in the Trinity? Yeah, I think you do, right? God has revealed these things. So, we don't know how many thousands or millions of years there were between verses 1 and 2 of Genesis. Now, if you want to sit down after church and we can have a discussion about that, I'm totally open to that. But those are the truths. We don't know. We don't know. But there is a dynamic difference between those two verses. Can I tell you this morning that when God created, it was perfect and beautiful, just like you. And the soul which God created in you, he breathed in you and you became a living soul. Can I tell you that there was things that God had created that were there between verses 1 and 2 of Genesis? I mean, don't take my word for it. Look at science. Look at all the bones. Where do the dinosaurs go to, right? How about the cavemen? I don't think Adam was a caveman, right? I don't think so, right? So we could get deep into, I'm not going there, but what I'm trying to say is this, is that when God breathed, he did something different from any other creation. He clapped his hands. No, he didn't. He pulled out an iPad and said, let's do, no, he didn't. He spoke things into existence. His breath made a difference. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you are who you are and forever you shall be, because you are a soul now, not flesh, but you are a soul. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Now I'm telling you this morning, if you're 14 or 15 or 16, wherever you're at, all right? Things look different than when you're 62, I promise you that, all right? They look different because this flesh changes, right? I remember seeing a picture of myself, Mike, when I was 30, and I had one of my eight kids, my daughter, I was going to say six girls, one of my girls were on my shoulder, and I said, dude, you look pretty good there. Dude, not any longer. I mean, look, you're missing a tooth. I told the story before. I'll tell it again. I was doing basketball. I was officiating basketball about 3 years ago. And I was just doing pumpkins. The age of Judah. I think about Judah's age. How old is Judah? Four? I think they're like four and five years old. And she was just so beautiful. She had these beautiful earrings on. And I had grabbed the basketball, and I was ready to give it to her so she could bring it into play. And she goes, can I ask you a question? I go, sure, sweetheart. What is it? She goes, what happened to your front teeth? Little punk. I'm just kidding. I started laughing. I really did. It was hilarious. It's not hilarious when I look in the picture, in the mirror, but anyway. But what I'm trying to say is that this flesh, this ain't it, right? This is just the grocery bag that God, come on. This is just the grocery bag that God has given you to carry you through to its time that your soul gets out, hallelujah, and meets him. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad those who may be over 50, that's the truth? Hallelujah, right? You're glad about that. And I'm here to tell you that you will never die for real. Will this flesh die? Of course it will. We've got grave sites everywhere to tell us that. But you won't. Why? Because you became a living soul. You're not, even though I love my Caleb with all my heart, I just want to give him a hug every day. Even when he has my shorts from the next day in his mouth, all right? He does that every day to me. I can't believe it. But I love that dog. That dog's going to die. It's just truth. It's going to happen. I hope it doesn't happen for a long time, but it's going to happen. And that's going to be it. Over. I'm here to tell you today, it ain't over for you. So if you accept that reality, everything changes. Everything. Because if you're going to continue, the only question is what? Is it? Is that the only question? Or is the question where? Let's continue. Hallelujah. Third verse. John, excuse me, John 19:30. Give you a second to get there. Now Jesus came and he accomplished everything. Do you realize that he fulfilled 324 messianic prophecies? 324. And some of those prophecies were very predictive that he is the Messiah. Now, there are millions of Jews who don't believe that yet, right? But there are scripture that states, or prophecy that states in the Old Testament, that Jerusalem will be destroyed after the Messiah is cut off. Does anybody know when Jerusalem was destroyed? 70 AD. That's when it happened. So that means the Messiah, if he was cut off, would have had to be prior to 70 AD. So any future of looking for Messiah is worthless. He fulfilled 324. How many, and I'm not asking you to give me your answer, but just say you were trying to get a job. Let's just say Subway, okay? And Subway had 324 requirements for you to get through. And if you didn't get all those, then you weren't going to work at Subway. Let's be honest. Good luck with that, right? Good luck that anybody but God himself could meet those. That's why you know that Jesus is the Messiah. But here, let's hear what the Word of God says in John 19:30. It says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So the Greek word for it is finished, it's amazing how one word in one language can be multiple words in English, all right? But in the Greek, it is finished translates to tetelestai. I might not be pronouncing that correctly. Right. You know what that means? That means it is finished. That's correct. But it also means paid in full. That's what it means. That same voice, that same airway that spoke on that cross, paid in full. It doesn't stop paying for things. Just like the light, it continues to light. Just like the soul, it continues to live. And just like this, that word he spoke, paid in full, it is finished, continues to live today. Can someone say amen? It doesn't matter what you did last night. You're not involved in the situation. What? What do you mean? I'm not. You're not. You're not involved. It was paid for you. All you got to do is this. All you got to do is take the bill. All you got to do is go and say, here, here, stamp it for me, please. I can't do it. And what does he do? Bam, he stamps it. And you are paid in full again and again and again and again. There is no limits. There is no, well, you went too far today. No. I'm here to tell you, it never loses its power. It never loses its ability to pay for what you need. Yes. Can someone give the Lord a hand? Come on. We'll sit here and say, oh, the Cavs won the division title. I'm super happy at that. And we won't clap for the Lord and what he's done. Well, Brother Dave, maybe I don't really believe it. Or maybe, okay, I need to be involved. Do you really? Do you really want to be involved in that? Because I promise you, if you're involved, dude, you lose. You lose right here. Lose. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he continues? Now, I've served the Lord for 40 years. I've said that already. Can I tell you, unfortunately, Maritza, I've had to stand before God again and ask him to forgive me. Again and again, Judy, and again, Gary, again. Maybe not you. Maybe you were able to just get forgiveness and live perfectly. But I failed and failed. But I found his love. His love and his mercy was greater than anything I've ever bumped into my whole life. Who am I? Why me? I guess that's the question I go back to. Why me? Why me? It's for everybody. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, or it doesn't matter what the things you do, or the things you've done. What matters is it's still there. Last point. Hallelujah. Revelation 19, 11 and 12. The Word of God says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This last point I want you to look at, where it says, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. So, what's the connection here? What is the Lord building for you to see today? There's a voice. There's a breath that started. That breath started when he created. That breath was there, Brother Gary, when he made us soul men and soul women. That breath was there when he screamed out, it is finished. That same breath is going to speak, and no weapon formed against him will destroy him. That by his voice, they will fall. And if you will read Revelations prior to this, there is a call. Stetson, there's a call to all the birds to say, come. A feast is coming. And you can eat the princes and the kings and all those who will suddenly pass away. Not from a nuclear bomb or man doing things to the environment or to themselves, but by the breath of God, the breath alone, the breath alone, the breath of God alone does those things. So what have I gotten to? God's breath today. If you can just grasp what I'm about ready to say, could change how you look at things. That breath, so the name of God himself proclaimed it to be what? Yahweh, right there. That's, he said that. Yahweh. 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 What you have, Sister Trish, what you have is the physical breath that you have right now speaks his name. The very breath that you have last night, tomorrow, speaks his name. And you can trust that he's going to finish that course. You're never alone. Why are you never alone, Michael Jones? Because why? Because he got this. Yahweh. Yahweh. You're breathing. Yahweh. Hallelujah. Yahweh. You're breathing. That means God is with you, right? If you're still breathing, that means God's with you here. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, bless the Lord, that when you're dead, when you're done breathing that way, guess what happens? Just guess what happens? That soul that he breathed in, hallelujah, that soul that he breathed in, you're going to continue, you're going to continue, you're going to continue. There's not going to be a stop. The only places where you're going to be What have you done with it? What have you done with it? What have you done with it? Alone. There might be those who, and I don't know why I'm going here. I don't know why. I'm going to say it anyway. It might be on Facebook, but you've been struggling with suicide. Maybe you have. Do you really think that's the answer? If you are, now you know, now that you didn't know before, but now you know that you taking the last breath from this means things are going to be over with. It's not true. You've been deceived. You're deceived. I have a good friend of mine. Love him to death. Ah, Jim. He's my best man at my wedding. He, good guy, but he had something happen to his life. Brother Josiah, give me some music. I remember he got hurt at church. Am I the only one that got hurt by the church? Maybe you have, and you just want to talk about it. I got hurt by the church because I thought the church was all that in a bag of chips. That the church was just a bunch of broken people. Just like me. Just broken. He is what it is, right? He's it. And last time I had a conversation about Jesus with him, he says, when you die, it's over with. Just like Caleb. No. I said, but it's not, man. And he's banking on it. Because he knows. What are you banking on this morning? Are you banking on that you think the pain, you really think the pain will stop when you pull the trigger or take the pills? Do you really think that? You're wrong. It's not. Existence will continue. It will. And unfortunately, you'll stand before God without Christ. Without Christ, what happens? Piece of paper at. I have to stand before God. You didn't know at the end of your life you'd have paperwork to deal with, right? You're going to have this paperwork and you're going to stand before God and you're going to do this here. And he's not going to sit there and say, well, you did this. Or I couldn't believe you did that. He's going to look at your paperwork. Brother Gary, if it says teletestai on it, that's it. It's over with. And this morning, I'm asking you to hear this crazy guy from Sagamore Hills, who loves the Lord with all of his heart, to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. He's saying to you today, look at God for the truth of what it is, not the, what's the word? Deceitful, being deceived. Because deception is, you've got something to do with this. All you have to do is take your paperwork to God and let him take care of it. All you have to do is let him. You're never alone. Why am I never alone? It's with me. I'm in a car by myself. I don't have any money in the bank. Everybody's coming after me for that. They want to take everything from me. I've got this disease, and I'm gonna end up dying. I'm gonna have to go to the doctors to get it fixed, and it's gonna run me more money than I could ever pay back. He is the voice. He is the breath. He's the breath that makes the difference. His voice made a difference in Genesis. It made a difference at the cross. It made a difference in your life. All you have to do is see it, hear it, and let him do what he does best. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to ask if our leadership would come up and help me. I appreciate it. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Dave, why did the Lord lead you to speak upon this today? My opinion is that there's somebody, and there might just be one of you, but there may be more. But there's somebody needed to really know, to know with physicalness that God is there for you. This isn't just some religion, you know. It wasn't like I was born into this thing, and maybe you were. Dude, I was born a Methodist. My son still is a pastor in the Methodist church. I remember summer school and all that. I remember that. But it took an event, Mike, in my life. An event that had to happen. That I had to give him. I had to give him my keys. So, without these keys, you know, unless one of you guys can help me get home or my wife lets me drive her, I can't leave here. But I had God come to me and says, "Buddy, I want these keys from you." I'm like, "Dude, no way. These are my keys. What am I going to do when I don't have any keys? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go?" There's some of you here need to recognize that this religion you think you're in is not what God wants. He wants that. He wants the keys of your life. That's what he wants. He wants your keys. Doesn't matter that your dad has given him his key. He doesn't care. He does care for your dad, but now he cares for you. He wants your keys. But where's that going to put me? Where am I going to go? Yahweh. How do I know that he's there? Yahweh. How do I know that he won't fail me? Yahweh. I would love that we would pray, and all those who would, I would pray that all of you would come and find a place at this altar and seek his face. If you need special prayer, we've got people who can help you pray. I know that I've got to go pray with the YouTube people, but it'll just be a few minutes. But I recognize that that's not going to happen. It's not. Some of you are going to walk away from this and think, nah, that old goat, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, he's delusional. I don't need what he has to say. I already know. I'm telling you, things are coming to your life that you need to know. Is there? You need to know for a fact that you can trust in this way, and his love for you will never change no matter what you do. Well, Brother Dave, you just don't recognize. You know, you don't even know. You don't even know the people I've hurt in my life. You don't even know the people that I haven't told anybody, but you don't even know the people who I've killed. You know, I was on duty, or I was in the army, or whatever. Really? Well, there was a guy named Saul, okay? And he actually called for the Christians to be killed. Stephen's coat was thrown at his feet. Look it up in Acts. And what did God do in response to that? Dude, you're done. No. God pursued him. He was going to Syria, and God chased him down. He chased him to Syria, knocked him off his horse, blinded his eyes for 3 days. He recognized, Yahweh. That's who you have on your side. So we're going to pray. I hope you come visit with us. And whatever God has for you out of this, you need to take it. And if you're facing suicide, listen, it's a devil's lie. Can someone give me an amen on that? Is suicide a devil's lie? It is. It is. Because trust me, Satan knows that this flesh is just temporary and that you are a soul man and a soul woman. He knows that. He just wants you to push you out of here without you not giving the keys to him, and you still have that paper that's not shown being paid in full. So I'm going to pray. And while I'm praying, if you can come join us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ the righteous, Father, I've done everything I can. Please forgive me, Lord, if I've not been able to get across the things that you wanted me to say, but I've given you all that I had. I pray, Father God, that you would touch those who've heard this, and Father God, that their lives will be changed. They will see that Yahweh is all they need, and that you're always there, and that you're their actual breath that they have walks with you every day. And we thank you, Father God, for your grace. We thank you, Father God, that we can stand before you, Lord, with our broken lives and our unforgiveness paperwork, and we can put it before you, and you stamp it clean, paid in full. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. In the precious name of Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Hallelujah. About way. As the preacher spoke, his breath, his voice has been speaking from the very beginning to the very end. And there in the middle of time, he spoke the words, teletestai, which means paid in full. And this morning, whatever you're facing, If the word suicide is being spoken to you, or even the word like, I'm giving up, this is too much, or I can't take it anymore, listen, God is with you. He's with you. You became a soul man or soul woman because He breathed life. He breathed breath into man. We're just not flesh. We're just not like the animals. We are. We have a soul that lives forever. But where? Where are you living at? Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to my friends here. And I'm going to pray. And listen, if you haven't accepted Christ as your personal Savior, today's the day. Today's the day to get that paper stamped that you're forgiven. And whatever you're facing, whatever struggle you're going through, understand that God is with you. His literal breath, Yahweh, comes through you. I'm so thankful to know that, to see that with my own eyes, because you are never alone. He's always with you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the righteous, Lord, you see, Father God, those who are struggling today, those who've heard this message, and they may are dealing with suicide and dealing with things that their lives are at the point of being shattered, and they don't know what tomorrow brings, but Lord, we know that you do, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the righteous, that you would touch them. We pray, Father God, that if they haven't made that prayer, that they would pray this prayer even right now. They would say, Father, forgive me of my sins. I make you Lord of my life. Here's the keys. From this day on, I will pursue you. I will read your word. I will find the church. I will pray the prayers and allow you to be what you already are in me. But now I've recognized it. You are Yahweh. And you always walk with me. I accept your payment for the things that I cannot pay. I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you will send us different ways to look at what truth you are. And I thank you for that, Father. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. Friend, thank you for coming today. We'll see you Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Please let us know in the comments if we can pray for you for anything, or God has done something spectacular in you today. Share that with us so we can share it with others. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining Michael Rice, lead pastor at Encounter. More messages from Pastor Rice are available on our website, www.wreckedbygod.com. On our website, you can subscribe to our regular podcast or on iTunes. Find us on Facebook under Encounter.